book of Psalms. We're going to read in chapter 95, just one verse this morning. Hopefully, the Lord's help, we will reference a few other places, but we want to start in Psalms chapter 95, and down in verse 6 today. When you get there, won't you stand with us this morning as we read the Word of God. Psalms chapter 95, verse 6 says this, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Read it once again. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. If you'd bow your heads with us, Brother Willard, you could lead us in prayer.
For the word we've heard great. Now we pray, O God, that you'd anoint our brother, Lord, in a special way. O God, if there be one here that's lost and undone, there'd be something said or done that would cause them to turn to thee. We thank you, O God, for all the things that you're doing for each and every one of us in life. Now, Lord, we commit this service into thy hands. Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Willard. So this Christmas season is full of excitement, and I've told you before, I love Christmas. I enjoy the time of year. I know we've gotten a bit commercialized with Christmas and a lot of these things, but even in that, I don't get too upset because there's a different feeling in the air. There's a different emotion. Almost society even seems like it changes during Christmas. You see more giving, more love. You see more kindness during this time of the season. And sure, if we could maybe take out some of the commercialism, I would agree and understand. But with that said, I just like seeing that society senses a different feeling during Christmas, many of which are not believers in Christ Jesus. They don't understand the love of God. But they get caught up into the season of Christmas, and in doing such, they get into giving and showing love and kind acts to folks. And I enjoy that. I like to see that. I like that part of society. But in all of that, we need to remember that that Christmas is about the birth of Christ Jesus. And of course, the excitement of Christmas as you're giving gifts to young people, I can remember growing up in the quite excited about Christmas. We spoiled ours pretty bad. She seemed to got things throughout the year, but it was still a fun time. I remember excitement Caitlin has, but I had that excitement. I see it in the young people here at Fairview. So it's an exciting time, but as exciting as it is, we need to reflect and remember that it's about the birth of the Son of God. That's what tomorrow is about. We want to look back and remember the greatest gift ever given to mankind. The greatest gift we could speak of, whether you go back in the Old Testament and talk about it or in the New Testament up to today and even look in the future. This is the gift that we're going to celebrate tomorrow is the greatest gift known to mankind. And that's the gift of the Son of God. A gift of love. And we want to talk here in a moment about the gift that Paul wrote about. Paul wrote about this gift in the book of Ephesians. It said this gift, the grace of God. And he talks about it. But this gift is centered in this time of year, in this season. It's the reason for the excitement. Why do we exchange gifts under a tree? Well, because we're taught about a gift that we was given. We read about the wise men who brought gifts. And the tradition is carried on about the giving of gifts to show as a symbol of the love that we have been given by God. So the kids are excited. People are doing nice things. The season's different. I like even Christmas music. I don't know if I like the shows Amy's been watching. They've been on for like 2 months now. Some of those have gotten old. That got your attention a little bit. But it's a special time, and it's all reflection of the gift. And I was listening to a Christmas song not long ago, and it says, "Come, let us adore Him." And everybody's heard the song many times over, and we sing it. But I thought about that. Come, let us adore Him. And it's awesome how God works, and I hope that you read through the Word of God every day, because when you're reading the Word of God, you're going to see things and hear things in life, and it's going to change your life. And that song, so I got to thinking about, come let us adore Him. What does it mean to adore something? So I started thinking, I said, well, I adore Amy, I adore Caitlin. So I started putting in my head love and things. But it takes on a very different understanding when you look up the definition and the meaning of this. So to adore something is to honor or worship it. Now that changes that word of adore. So I got to think, somebody wrote this song, Come Let Us Adore Him, and they were thinking about this honoring and worshiping Christ at the time of writing this song. And through the span of the years since the song's been written, we've been singing this thing many times without even reflecting upon what the actual meaning of that is. But if you think about it now for just a moment, it said, come let us honor and worship the Son of God. Now there's a Christmas song I like to talk about. Let us honor and worship. But the definition's even a little deeper than that. It's not just worship, but it's worship as deity. So recognize and worship as God. So to adore something means to give it honor and to worship it as God. What does it mean to worship God? What does it mean to worship and honor something? Well, that's what brought me to the book of Psalms and the writing here. So you go back with me in verse 6 that I read in chapter 95. It said, oh, come. I couldn't find that the song was written from this verse, but I sure believe it has something to do with it. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. You could write that verse of the song right here. Oh, come, let us honor and worship as God, or let us adore Him. So it says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. So bowing down and worshiping is giving honor to Christ Jesus. Now, Matthew, we read in Sunday school, those that was here this morning, about the wise men. If you look at second chapter of Matthew, down in verse 11, it says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Fell down and worshiped him. So to adore is to give honor and to worship as God. And we have biblical examples with the wise men coming to the young child's house. And there when they arrived, they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, very valuable and expensive gifts. They opened them and presented them to the Christ child. And they bowed down and worshiped Him. Now the Bible tells us in the book of Philippians that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Should adore, honor, and worship. What does it mean to worship? It means to bow down. It means to praise. It means to lift up. That's what worshiping is. So I'm still talking about the let us adore. I'm still talking about honor and worship here. So in the book of Philippians, it said that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow down. The wise men came before the Christ child as a young child, gave Him gifts, and they bowed down to Him. Paul said this in the book of Ephesians, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. What gift? Well, I tell you what gift, the greatest gift ever known to man. The gift of the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was given. This was the grace of God. It was by His grace that the Son of God came into this world, that the Father saw and was willing to allow His Son to come, that you and I might have salvation and the hope of eternal life. That's this gift that Paul's talking about, the greatest gift here. He said is the grace of God. And he goes on writing there in the book of Ephesians, down in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the wise men bowed at Christ, at the young child. At the very speaking of His name, Paul said, we shall bow down. Paul said, by this greatest gift, which is the grace of God, for this cause I bow down. Come, let us adore Him. Yet we live in a time and a society where it seems hard to step out of a pew and walk to an altar of prayer and bow down. I have never in my life that I can recall seen out in public someone bow down to worship God. I see that in the confines of an assembly, house of worship. I see that in the confines of a home. I don't see this happening. So, well, I praise God, Brother Doug, and that's well and good. But what has happened that we've gotten to such a place in society that we've become too proud to even bow down to our Savior? Crazy thought, isn't it? See, I tell you, these preachers, sometimes our minds run everywhere. Could you imagine a society where the craziness happens when maybe you're at McDonald's and somebody bows down to worship God? Could you imagine seeing it at Walmart or Kmart even? What a bunch of fanatics that would be. See, the song says, come let us adore Him. And if we're not careful, we think of adoring something maybe like we do with our dog or our pet. I got to be careful. I get in trouble talking about these pets and dogs a little bit. But listen, I like my dog. I like my pets a lot. I enjoy having them with me. But we kind of talk about them with adoration. How am I going to adore them? But to adore something is far greater than we might look at a dog or a cat. Listen, it's far greater than something we even look at our husband and our wife with, or even our children. This is to give honor and worship. We should not worship our spouse. We should not worship our children. I see some of that going on in society today, but they're not worthy to be worshipped. I'm not worthy to be worshipped. I'm just a mere human that God sent into this world, but my Savior is worthy, and He should be honored. He should be adored. He should be bowed down to. See, if we're not careful tomorrow morning or tonight or whatever time you celebrate the giving of gifts at your house, you're going to have a beautiful tree decorated, I'm sure, much like we have in front of the church house. And it's full of gifts, I would expect, around the bottom of your tree. And somewhere near the next day or two, if not already, you're going to exchange gifts one with the other. And if we're not very cautious, we're going to give honor to those that provide the gifts. But let us be reminded during this Christmas season that we ought to adore not each other, but the Son of God. See, because the Son of God is worthy of the honor. I'm not. I might buy a gift for Caitlin and Amy and some others, and I might give of that gift with the much love as I have in my life. And I tell you, I do enjoy showing love and loving folks, but I'm not worthy of honor. I'm not worthy of worship. I'm not worthy. I've failed in my life. I'm miserable. And Paul said it best, I'm of the least of all of them. Talking about the saints of God. So when I give of a gift and I hand a package maybe to my family and they open it up and they're so excited and listen, let it be that they honor Christ Jesus in the giving of that gift. For I'm able to give of love because He loved me, and because of His love I can show and understand what love is. Amen. And let the Christmas tree be decorated that it would be a reflection of the greatest light of this world, and the gifts that are given be a reflection of this greatest gift that's ever been given. And let our love be a reflection of His love. And then let us give honor to the very Son of God. See, because if we're not careful, we get into this thing with Christmas where we've got to have X amount of gifts for Brother Willard and the same amount for Brother Leroy, and then Brother Adam's got to have, and they got to all be kind of the same value. And we get tied into this real problem. But when we start doing things because of the love that's been shared with us, now the honor's not from us. Now we don't have to worry about offending Brother Willard, and I'm just using these brothers for I know that they don't mind. I've used them a lot. That's how I know that, by the way. Listen, but it's not an offense to anyone because we're just showing that, listen, we're able to give and to show what our Savior has done for us. And let the giving of gifts not to be to honor the person that gave it, but let it be to honor the one that gave the great greatest gift of all, that's Christ Jesus. And not only the giving of gifts, let our life be to give honor to Jesus Christ. That when I get up in the morning and the sun shines and a new day dawns and I'll go out into the walk of life, let my acts and my life be to honor the Son of God and to honor Jesus Christ. And whether that be on Christmas morning in the giving of gifts or at Ingersoll Rand in a work day or any other time, let my work and my life be to honor the Son of God. Amen. Now when I work and when my hands are working for Jesus and my life is to honor Him, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. It ain't going to bother me anymore to bow down at an altar of prayer and let my church family see me lift up and praise the name of Jesus Christ. And whether it be at church or Walmart or any other place in between, I'll be more than glad to honor Jesus. Come, let us adore Him. That means to give honor and to worship. So I told you, I love Christmas. I like Christmas before I was in church. I like Christmas all the way back. 1981, we lived in Tedder County, right over on Tebbs Bend, top of the hill there from Old Iron Bridge. Some of you know might know where that's at. A little rental farmhouse there, Billy Joe Kerr's house. I'd made it all the way to 7 years of age at this point. And they come out with an Atari. And boy, did I want one of them things. Some of the young people don't know what Atari is, I don't reckon. Little game box. And that year for Christmas, my brother and I received an Atari and a 13-inch black and white TV to play on. Fantastic. You ain't never played until you've played Pac-Man on a 13-inch black and white TV for 8 to 10 hours straight. Unbelievable. For those that's played it, they don't, you know exactly what I just did. Greatest day ever. I mean, they don't get no better than this. Family, got a present that you've been wanting for some time. Greatest, it was a great moment. Memory that I can hang on to. Always love Christmas. But 18 years ago, Christmas changed a lot in my life. We still give gifts, and we still get excited, but now we understand what Christmas morning's about. It's not about an Atari or a little TV. It's about a baby that deserves our adoration. We should adore Him. And I hope that tonight or tomorrow morning, whenever you celebrate, that you remember this gift. What could I preach that's not been preached? Why, nothing, my friend. It's already been preached 1,000 times over. But I want to remind you about Jesus Christ, the Son of God that loved you so much that He was willing to come. Oh, to a rotten, miserable world that has failed Him, denied Him, and turned their back on Him. But His love is greater than any failure I've ever had. And He was willing to come and to be born in Bethlehem in a place not fit for any child to be born. He didn't care. He was willing to come anyway. Let us be reminded that it's His love and His gift. That's the reason for the Christmas celebration that we have. And though our memories may be around an Atari and a little black and white TV, let our mind be focused upon honor and worship of the very Son of God that loves you more than you've ever been loved before. Amen. And maybe you've never accepted Him. Maybe you just don't know about this love. Maybe there wasn't an 18-year ago moment in your life where everything changed. But I'm here to tell you that when the love of God enters in, when you remove that old scaly heart, when you remove that stony flesh, my friend, and let the love of God in, I mean, Christmas becomes Christmas to you. And you'll start being a little fanatical yourself, and you'll hear songs like Silent Night, and you'll understand them different than you did before. And you'll hear songs like Come, Let Us Adore Him, and that'll mean something different to you, because you'll have a love that's greater than the love of man inside of you. You'll have the love of God. Let us be reminded that Christmas has become a whole lot of things, but it has never changed. Christmas is about the birth of Christ Jesus, a Christ child. The kings knew it. Mom and Dad knew it. And my friend, you know it. You may not worship Him. You may not honor Him. You may turn your head when I preach about it. You may turn your head when Brother Willard or Brother Barry preaches about it. You may turn the radio down when the preacher comes up. You may turn to Christmas. But you know that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God. And you know, because He speaks to your heart, my friend, that that's the reason that we celebrate the season of Christmas. That's why we have the day tomorrow. You know, they tell us that maybe His birth date really wasn't December 25th. You heard that? I read it. I read crazy things. Maybe it was in the month of Nisan. Maybe it was in the ninth month that His birth date was. Maybe it was in the ninth month and about the 25th day. You can find some people to believe that. It doesn't matter to me. Here's what I want you to know, that tomorrow's the day we celebrate the birth of Christ. I don't know what day on the calendar exactly that was. I just know that tomorrow I'm going to be reminded of the greatest love ever been given to man. But guess what? Christmas won't stop in my world tomorrow. On the 26th and 27th and every day of my life, I'm reminded of that greatest love. Amen. Because when the troubles and trials of life come, they are far greater than this little boy can handle, I'm telling you. But I've got a God, I've got a Savior, I've got a Master that goes with me through the toughest of trials. I'm not the only one. My goodness, have you heard what's going on here at Fairview? It's unbelievable. You've seen what Brother Jimmy's been through, Sister Helen over here. Brother Harry's been through transplant. Jordan over here's been through amazing healing. I can't remember everybody. Folks, it's all around our church. The hand of our God has gotten involved in your life. He stirred it up. He's blessed you. He's brought you a long way to remind you that He loves you this morning. That's Christmas. Christmas every day around my place. Christmas is every day because God lives in my heart. If you've been denying His very existence, it's a miserable life. I've been there. I know what you're going through. So let this Christmas be a reminder that He desires your worship. He desires for you to honor Him. He has given you so much, and all He has asked of you, that you believe on Him as the Son of God. Well, Brother Doug, I believe on Him, but I'm just not a very vocal person like you are. I'm going to tell you something. You can't not tell about the love of God when He comes in your life. You can't hold it back. I dare you to try it. When God gets in your heart, you can't hide it from someone. You know, I don't remember who it was. I believe Brother Don, but somebody said their dad got saved and they knew it before he ever told it, because you can't hide it, my friend. Because when God gets a hold of it, your life's going to change. Christmas is going to become Christmas. Easter be Easter. So let us adore Him. Let us worship and give honor to the Son of God. There is no shortage of love at Fairview. That is without question. I can tell you this. You have loved me and my family from the first time we come to this church. I remember a December Sunday morning that Brother Donnie had invited me over. Miss Amy had something going on at Campbellsville with Caitlin. And by the time I was flying by the church, because I didn't see it for the little patch of woods out here, I can remember pulling in. It's just like I'd been here all my life. Yeah, you looked at me a little strange, like, who's this crazy young guy coming in? But you welcomed me. It's never changed. Love, there's no shortage of love at Fairview. Folks, if we have anything at Fairview, we've got love. It's a beautiful compliment and testimony for a church to say they have love. I've been in those that didn't. And it's uncomfortable. It's hard. But you've got it. Let us be reminded during Christmas that the love we have is because God loves us. And there's some that's been coming to Fairview for a long time that has not accepted Jesus Christ in your heart. Listen, we love you nonetheless. There's going to be a lot of loved ones on the day of judgment that's not going to make it into heaven. The love we'll show to you will not be any different. But don't continue down a pathway of being convicted in your heart when God is knocking. Not the fear. We could talk about hell and all the folks. I want to tell you about something greater than the fear of hell. And that's the love of God. I just want you to get up in the morning. I want you to experience what it's like to have Christmas morning with the love of God in your heart. I want you to experience when the present don't mean what it used to mean because you've got the greatest gift already been given. I want you to have God's love in your heart tomorrow morning because I can assure you it's going to be the best Christmas ever. Remember 1981 and Atari and the TV and Pac-Man? It was great. It wasn't as good as a Christmas when I had Jesus Christ. Or as a Christmas be in the morning. Or as Christmas is right now. I want you to have the love of God. If you do nothing else this Christmas, stop and listen. Listen to the greatest gift, which is grace of God, Paul said. What was born in Bethlehem in the manger? This is what I was really going to preach about a couple weeks ago. It was grace. Grace. Brother Casey Davis, I believe he said it this way. What is grace and mercy? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. And grace is getting what we don't deserve. We don't deserve the Son of God. We don't deserve His life and His death. We don't deserve hope. But that's why it's grace. Grace was born in the manger. That's what was in Bethlehem. Grace has been offered to you this morning, but you've got to accept it. You've got to come unto Him and accept. Somebody get us a song. Who's singing for us this morning?